So a few weeks ago, this is not a test to see if anybody remembers prior sermons, but they do sometimes connect. I offered a sermon on Unitarian Universalists and our tie to social justice, or sort of that's what I preached on, because I had begun by talking about the original reasons my husband Bill and I had come to a Unitarian church. And my point was in that sermon that I didn't come to fix the world. And eventually, I've made my own little dabblings in that area. But that's not our topic today. Because I remember when I was talking in that sermon, I said I came for renewal and for finding a place where there was quiet and I could pause during my week. In that sermon, I also noticed that I came because I anticipated tough things would happen. It would happen in my life, and I didn't want to be alone, and I had some sort of nagging fear. What might I trust as I walked through life? Was the God that I sensed broadly as energy and warmth around me, this God that was sort of a conversation partner with me, was that the force I was going to be able to trust? Did I need to figure out prayer? It seemed to be working for other ones so I could get that in my toolkit because I wanted stuff that would be there no matter what. Because wasn't that God's job? To be there no matter what. I said in the sermon that I didn't want to be alone, but maybe in my sense of talking about not wanting to be alone, I was really asking a different question, or at least a more expanded question. What might I find reliable? What direction would be reliable to turn in times of struggle? Because I think that aspect of drawing me to some sort of religious community was wanting to protect myself. I wanted a faith or a faith tradition to be an insurance policy, I think, to help. If I want to be honest, I didn't want to face struggles. I just wanted to avoid them. It makes the whole process go much less smoothly. And then, if bad stuff happened, to make the journey a bit less painful. Because I see that human nature is both fragile and fallible. But it's also resilient. And I think part of the job of being part of a religious community, whether it's the UU tradition or other traditions, is to have the courage to name truth, and then to help us move from feeling like fragile, fallible beings in this world, sort of at risk and out there, to being more resilient. And I think each faith tradition tries to help people on that path from fragile to resilient. What are our guideposts in the world? Where do we need walking sticks? Who or what has our back? And I think the bigger question, what is worthy of our trust? I think for some of us, the question, what do I have faith in? And what do I trust? Are foundationally different questions. Faith for some folks, and I don't want to judge where we all come at this question, I think, at different points in our life, but faith for some folks is closer to a, because I've said so, I've decided it. It can be at the end of a spectrum, not really as much evidence-based, but big, big assumptions that we just decide to trust. Just decide to hold on to. I have to believe the sun will come up tomorrow. I'm just going to have faith. My daughter will come home safely that first night she takes the car out alone. I have faith. My dog loves me. But I also just can name that I have faith that if something bad happens, it's all going to work out. So for some folks, that's how they think of faith. I think sometimes people think about trust a little differently. They think of it as a little bit more earned, a little bit more incremental. Something that is a confidence, but it needs to be validated again and again through experience. At one of the recent Friday morning sessions that we have here, once a month we talk about a topic, and we were talking about trust, and we talked about the power of learning to trust yourself. Whether it's trusting that you can ride a bike or drive or try something new, often that trust we talked about is something we've learned over time. That little kid running down the path isn't worried about trusting or even falling. It's just going to work out. But as you go through a few of the bumps and bruises of life, you don't learn to trust yourself in a bubble. You need messages that are validated, people saying, go for it, good counselors. You've got this. For the nurses and the doctors that are out there, there's that repeated sense of doing procedures over and over. And you learn time and again, not necessarily there won't be mistakes, but that you'll figure it out, you'll do it more or less right, and that you'll have that clear head to steer. You've got that resiliency. I remember when my daughter was in first grade, in my view, by March, she was, and we had an older kid, she just didn't seem to be learning to read well enough. She couldn't tell you pit from pet from pat. She had no speech impediments, and it just didn't make sense. And I'm at the conference with a really experienced teacher. She's like, I've seen thousands of students. She's going to get this any day now. Trust me. She could have told me also, we're going to pull in some special assistance or whatever, and that would have been okay. But I could trust her because she looked me in the eye and said, she's going to figure it out. And like 2 weeks later, she did. There's confidence as we figure out next steps and adaptability. And then we also, I think, in time, over on that trust side, sometimes see two or three things coming at us, and we start trusting we could handle any of the paths. It's not one's okay and one's not. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out where the slippery leaves are. We're going to figure out how to get to that next place. I tend to blur the words. My trust in self and my faith in self get pretty close. How about when you're thinking about trust, when you have to trust another? As you see a green light, you've got your foot on the gas, and you're driving forward, what are you trusting at that moment? What are you assuming? You're going to assume that the person who has a red light is going to stop. You're going to assume that the student who's walking across the street is going to obey the crosswalk signs and is on the curb. You're going to trust that whoever was supposed to service those lights has properly serviced those lights, and whoever figured out the technology says one thing that can never happen is you can't have two green lights coming at each other. If it's going to fail, maybe it goes out or it goes to blinking right. But we learned to trust in many others, but it's not a blind trust in that point. It's not a place where we're just taking a bet. It's a place where we scan the environment and we walk ahead based on our experience telling us this is going to be okay. There's intimate trust. Trust we have in our partnerships and family and long connections to a group, to a congregation, or to a work environment. We are continually entrusting our being, our fragile, fallible human being, our physical and social and emotional well-being, to a bigger whole. And sometimes we're always in that cross-check mode. We enter new water slowly, and we wonder, can I trust here? And it's exhausting. Always be revalidating the trust, which is, I think, sometimes where faith is, I'm just going to trust these big assumptions and not exhaust myself continuously. Because when we do get real trust, whether it's here, here, or in my view, they sort of come together, we relax some. We're less vigilant. And yes, we are more vulnerable. We say that we are going to be more vulnerable to this big world. And vulnerability means a willingness to be wounded. Think about that. So we want to prevent wounding, yet is so tired not to trust anything. So is trusting something, that learned version of trust, the same as having faith in something? I think what Unitarian Universalist takes us is to say these two are pretty close. Our faith is not something that comes necessarily with a couple big, bold assumptions on God or prayer, exactly, and we're going to go there in a minute. Nor are we asking to continually be checking and validating and wearing ourselves out. We trust in a whole, we trust in others, we trust in something. So for me, the words are very similar. For me, trust and faith are, where do I have sources of confidence? Because I want to be a more trusting soul. I want to say, just trust yourself, trust the other. And there are times in our lives when we say, I just have to trust the universe. Trust the universe. I think that's a bolder sentence. And I think it's sometimes where we go when that experience-based, earned trust just isn't exactly possible. I think in that language choice, when we say trust the universe, we are saying we can't control it all. It may not be so much that trust and faith are different, but sometimes life challenges come at us abruptly. This past week, I think many of you have heard, down in the Easton congregation, one of their members died very suddenly. 47-year-old healthy woman went in for a medical procedure, one of Lauren Harton's best friends. And as a congregation, we've walked with her husband. We had a huge memorial service yesterday. And we've been at that point where we're saying, what in the universe do we trust? Where do we look to our communities we've built so we don't feel so alone? We give ourselves that pep talk, but I think there are times we do ask, where does faith fit in? Where might God fit in with whatever language you might use around that? I think the way I phrase that is not only what's the difference between trust and faith, but for the bigger issues, where do we access? How do we keep an access to that faith when we need to ask, what do I trust in the universe? I think in a lot of faith traditions, some of which you may have left, you may still love in different places, the sacraments do that. In faith traditions that use communion and baptism, those are reminders, regularly scheduled reminders to bring God's presence, that sense of bigger trust, however you want to think about it, into your life regularly. I think a lot of faith traditions look at prayer, and I think prayer is a reminder to step back, that always trying to work it out and validate is exhausting, and where might I stand so things might look differently? When I think about prayer, I don't necessarily, and this is me, think about intercessory prayer. I don't think about a God who comes down and fixes, or comes across and fixes. But I think, what would it take for me to center myself so much that I might react differently to the world around me, especially in times when it struggles? Where might I stand to be changed? What assumptions and relationships are holding me into some place that I think I control it all? Where might things look different? I think the other place we turn sometimes is to our deeds. Not necessarily just to fix society, but I love that Nancy brought in this morning acts of kindness. They say in times of the biggest struggles, sometimes what to do is to look for the helpers. And and be one of those helpers. Where do we go when we need our circle to be wide and we want to be held and just trust without figuring it all out? I know God language doesn't work here for everyone, but I do want to read here Psalm 42. Because I think the Psalms sometimes take us to places that remind us others have been here. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, where is your God? I want to go back at the beginning of that first line. A deer longs for flowing streams. A deer who's thirsty and hungry out in that wilderness knows he or she will eventually find that water. There's a confidence based in that deer that they compare here to our own yearning. To have that confidence of that deer who knows water will be there, I think is sometimes what we need. We need to trust at that really basic level. And I think part of our role for one another is to remind ourselves of that. To remind ourselves that it will be okay. What would open if less of our energy were pulled from worry and we just accepted some paths we've maybe not chose? So for me, I think the question I want to leave you with today, again, for me, trust and faith and what I have confidence in are pretty similar. And that's sort of my guiding principles of life. It's not one or the other. Sometimes I need to check more closely. Sometimes I just need that up. But the key in hard times, I think, is to ask, what do I trust right now? In that question, if we can figure out something we can trust right then, we might find our load lightened, if just a bit. It's, I think, a reminder to turn to bigger sources for bigger perspectives, and that's going to vary here. But I think in our toolkit, we need the big stuff. And then our practices of faith. Whatever faith holds you, whether it's a faith you've moved from, moved toward, you want to merge with your Unitarian Universalism, I think practices of our faith are asking us, what do we trust? What do we hold as our flashlights and our walking stick and our covers when the challenges feel deep? And so my hope, something maybe I was reminded of in this last week and a half of walking with a 47-year-old spouse, is to not be afraid to trust into the big stuff. To not be afraid, as we walk through life on a day-to-day basis, that there will be some greater whole that will hold each of us should we need it to be there. May it be so.